As we continue in our study on the Holy Spirit, today we're going to begin to look at walking in the Spirit. We've talked about the filling of the Spirit, baptism of the Spirit, and now we're going to look at how do you live your life? How do you walk in the Spirit of Almighty God? Let me take you over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Now, some of these verses this broadcast we'll repeat as we look more at them in connection to literally operating and walking in the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Holy Spirit through the pen of Paul to the church of Galatia says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit," big S, Holy Spirit of God, "and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." So if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the flesh lust that's battling against your life. Verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth, desires, pulls against the Spirit." So when you're trying to do something for God and walk in the Spirit, the old fleshly nature that you have is going to battle against your yielding to the Holy Spirit. But thank goodness. And the Spirit against the flesh. Thank goodness the Holy Spirit of God pushes back against the flesh. The Holy Spirit is more power than the flesh if you and I yield to Him and His obedience to His direction. Now watch what he says. "And these are contrary one to the others." They're on two different sides. You can't walk in the flesh and walk in the Spirit, and you can't walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh. He says, "So that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "you're not under the law." You're not under the principle of the law of condemnation and judgment, because your life has been changed. Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit," and we do, we've been born of the Spirit, we've been baptized in the Spirit, we've been filled with the Spirit. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." I remember one young man came to see me. Came in the office and said, "Just need to talk to you a minute if I could." So I said, "Sit down." He pulled up a chair in front of my desk. "Pastor, I just can't do it." I said, "What?" He said, I can't live the Christian life." Kind of smiled at him. He said, "No matter how hard I try, I can't do it. And I'm defeated. I'm discouraged." Now listen, we've all felt that way. You remember when you were first born again? Even the Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, Paul is saying this. After he was born again, he realized he had a struggle. There was a battle with his old nature. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." He said, my old fleshly nature is not good at all. It has no heart for God. It's a lost man, the fallen man, my old carnal nature. "For to will is present with me." He said, I want to. I sense that desire in my heart. "But how to perform that which is good, I find not." Verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not. The things I want to do, I don't seem to do. But the evil which I would not, that I do." The things I don't want to do, it seems like that's what I do. And then he says in verse 20, "Now if I do that which I would not," he realizes something. "It is no more I that do it, but the old sin that dwelleth in me." Now Paul's been saved, he's born again. And so the Holy Spirit gives us some clarity. He said, "I find then a law." Now here's a principle. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses. "I find then a principle that when I would do good, evil is present with me." And you'll find that in your life. That old nature is still there. But as you subject it more and more to the Holy Spirit, the greater control He will have of your life. Verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God." That's the moral principles of God, the Ten Commandments, the righteous law of Moses. "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Verse 23, "But I see another law, another principle in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to that law of sin, which is in my member. And he said, oh, wretched man, who should deliver me from this body of death? Who in the world is going to help me? And then I'm going to read Romans 8:1. I'll come back in just a moment and read verse 24. But I just want to read this. I may read it again. Chapter 8, but there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free. Amen? So we've all felt like that. Paul felt like that. The demands of the Christian life are so great. Not just hard, but impossible in our own strength. You can't live the Christian life in your ability. If you try and live it in your own energy, you're going to be defeated and discouraged. Listen to Paul in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You'll either feel defeated or you'll try to become a fake, a hypocrite. You'll try to look on the outside like what you're not on the inside. You'll put on an outward religious front. Maybe go to church, man, I'm all victorious and all this. But look again, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. When you're born again, there's no condemnation. Your sins have been judged. And then he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? For the law, the principle of the Spirit, Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law or the principle of sin and death, that old nature. For what the law could not do, this is the moral law, could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, which he did, he came in our place, never sinned, but he came to take the place of the sinner, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? Here's the purpose clause. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That's why you and I can keep the law. That's why we can walk in obedience to Christ. He said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, as we study the Word of God, and God teaches us these marvelous principles of the Scriptures, that we learn how to walk. We learn how to be obedient. We learn how to be victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 13 and verse 38, watch what Paul says. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, though this man is preached, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, talking about Jesus. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. See, you're not only forgiven, you're made just by the wonderful work of God. He says, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. When you get forgiven, you're forgiven of sin. When you get justified, you are made as if you never have sinned. That means you've been made just by the power of God. Okay, let's ask some questions. Number one, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We're going to talk about that. Second question, then how do you do it? See, to walk in the Spirit means to live every day in dependence upon God. Yieldness to the Holy Spirit, who is also God. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, God wants us to have an unbroken relationship. A complete reliance every day on the Holy Spirit guidance and power. I pray each morning in my early time, Lord, help me to walk in obedience and discipline to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And may I live a holy lifestyle under your power. And he said, have you done that every day? No, I've failed him at times. But most of the time, I'm doing what God said do. You say, what happened to me? Well, I get in a traffic jam, I lose my temper, and I'm frustrated with myself. But what do? You confess your sins. Say, Lord, teach me. Help me to learn more patience. See, some think it's just grim determination. Boy, I'm going to get up. I'm going to square my shoulders. I'm going to tighten my belt. I'm going to set my jaw. And off I go now to live for Jesus. I'm afraid that's not it. It's not determination. It's dependence. Now, determination is a great thing. You discipline, get up in the morning, you're tired, you sleep, you still read the Word of God. But you're going to be victorious through dependence. Remember Jesus told us when we started the study, John 15, when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. See, it's not trying. Lord, I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. It's not trying. It's trusting that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust the Holy Spirit to empower you. All right, now, number one, reasons why trying to live the Christian life in our own strength just won't work. Now, we need to learn this. Why do so many people quit, give up, discouraged, no joy, no peace, no victory? They're just carnal, miserable Christians. Well, three reasons, I believe, that we need to look at and understand as we check these out. Number one, because the demands are too great. We've talked about this in a certain degree before. The demands for the Christian life are just too great for our own strength. You can't do it. This is an expectation of our Christian walk. Listen, I'm going to give you some of the verses, okay? Ephesians 2:10. If you want to write them down, you can. Ephesians 2:10. Walk in good works. So God expects you walk in the Spirit, you're going to walk in good works. Romans 13:13-14. Walk honestly. Be an honest man, honest woman, honest young person. 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith, not by sight. You walk by faith. See, the whole world is built around see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. But that's not the way we live our lives. We're to walk by means that we cannot discern with our five senses. We believe someone we have not seen by faith. Amen? That we trust him. We walk by faith. So we walk in love, Ephesians 5:2. We walk as children of light, Ephesians 5:8. We walk worthy of the Lord, the Bible says in Colossians 1:10. We walk as Jesus walked, 1 John 2:6. We walk with our godly vocation. We walk worthy of our vocation, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Worthy of the assignment given to us by God. Amen? Now see, this is not, you remember that old song, Tiptoeing Through the Tulips? I don't remember who sang it, but I remember what a dumb song it was. We're not tiptoeing through the tulips. We're walking step by step with God. God teaches us. The Bible says God orders the steps of the righteous man and woman. So why our strength, our physical strength will not work? Because the demands are so great. You can't do God's work in your human strength. Number two, because our enemy is so determined. Our old enemy, Satan, is so determined to battle against us, to fight us, to do everything that he possibly can. There's always a trap that he's laying for you. Paul said, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. See, his goal is to undermine, hinder, defeat God's people. You said, who are you talking about, Brother David? I'm talking about Satan, the old devil, and his demon henchmen that try to tempt us, to draw us away from the things of God, to try to discourage us and defeat us. To try to make us feel we can do it in our own selves. Listen to Ephesians 6. You know this very well. Listen. Finally, Paul says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You see it? And in the power of his might. If you're going to have strength, you're going to have it in the Lord, and you're going to have it in the power of his might through the Holy Spirit. Then he says what? Put on the whole armor of God. Why? And you've studied the armor. Why should I get up and put on that armor each day? That you may be able to stand against the wiles. That's the word of King James. It means the schemes, the subtle tricks of the devil, old Satan, the wicked one. But why is that? Well, listen to what he tells us. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not just fighting your old flesh nature. You're not fighting mankind around you. You're not fighting political parties. Listen, but against principalities. That's the organized structure of Satan. Satan has organized the demons, his henchmen, and his wicked followers in structured like an army. We battle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, listen to this, of the darkness of this world. Do you realize there's rulers that are empowered in this old world, around this world, in America, in our country? Behind most of this wicked evilness is Satan and his demonic forces and ungodly people who are either spirit-filled or yielded the way of wickedness. He said it against spiritual wickedness in high places. So this is not an irate drive in the traffic when you said, boy, I'd get defeated out there in that traffic like I did. It's not a difficult coworker. This is a powerful foe who hates Jesus, who hates God the Father, who hates the Holy Spirit, who hates his church, who hates God's people. Let me ask you a question. Does it surprise you that Satan attacks us, attacks our church, attacks the godly principles that have been established in our country? Remember what 1 Peter 5:8 said, as a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. Think of all the Christians who've fallen. Think of all the men who were wonderful preachers and had a great ministry, and old Satan tricked them and seduced them. They had an affair with some woman, maybe within the church or something like that. Others that just fall in love with money. I don't know if you remember Jim Baker. I had an air-conditioned doghouse. They just lived for the wealth and all of that. You know, the last 15 years of my ministry, I didn't take a raise. I told them, I said, I've got enough. Y'all pay me enough. I don't need any more. We can put it in the ministry. Defeated, old Satan comes and attacks and strives to defeat our influence, to battle against our marriages. Sue and I have been married 54 years. Bless the Lord. And if he can't fight you and defeat you, if he can't defeat your wife, then listen, he'll defeat your children. He'll attack our children and draw them away, do everything that he possibly can. He'll try to take our opportunities for service. In Revelation chapter 12, the Lord says in verse 9, I want to read it to you. And the great dragon was cast out. Thank God he's been cast out of heaven, but Jesus said he's cast out into the world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the God with a little g of this world system. Economic, governmental, all that, these things that hate God, stand for abortion. Abortions, the murder of little babies. The great dragon was cast out. That old serpent. Let me say something. I want to say something. Maybe there's some women listening today, or a young lady, that you had an abortion and God has convicted you. You go ask God to forgive you. God is a forgiver of sins. Amen. You get saved, washed in the blood, you'll see that little baby in heaven. You may have walked up there and said, I'm your mama, I'm a Christian now, and I love you. Look at your Bible again. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Remember the snake, the serpent that deceived Eve, called the devil and Satan. Watch this. Which deceiveth the whole world. He's out there trying to turn the whole world away from God. And the revelation that he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So that's the devil and all of his wicked demons. Satan does not waste time on the unsaved. You say, why do they get along? Why do they have no problems at all? He doesn't waste time on the unsaved. They're hellbound already. He already controls them. They do his bidding. He's going to attack the children of God. He's going to attack you as a believer to try to keep you from walking with God. So Satan has a plan to defeat your life and my life. That's why God said, don't give place to the devil. He seeks strategies against us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a loving God that protects us and cares for us and keeps us. But he's seeking strategies. He's trying to cause you to struggle with problems in life, and he's trying to cause you to have a quick temper. I've heard redheaded people say, I can't help it. I'm redheaded, and I've just got a bad temper. How foolish is that? But he'll deal with you and tell you to use it. He'll tempt you to gossip and to divide the church, say things that are not true. He'll deal with you on lust to tempt you, the internet, pornography, media, all these kind of things that are out there to use the carnality to endeavor to tempt and defeat a person. This is one reason that so many Christians are defeated, spiritual warfare, the old Satan attacking them. Well, why will our strength not work? Why do we need to walk in the Spirit? First, because the demands are so great. Second, because our enemy is determined to defeat us, bring shame on us, and reproach on God. Remember when David sinned with Bathsheba? And when Nathaniel came in, he says, you've given the enemies of God a great chance to blaspheme, that they mock God. And number three is because our fleshly nature is destructive. Our fleshly nature is destructive. Let's go back over to Galatians again, chapter 5, verse 16 again. Now watch what he says, remember? Watch. And this I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust, the longings, the desires of the flesh. Now, what is this flesh again? What are we talking about when God says that? It's what you were before you were saved. Fallen, sinful nature that indwelled you. And I want to show you how rugged this is, this old fleshly nature, how intimidating it is. And that's why Paul, this great apostle of God, in his first beginning to walk with God, was just heartbroken to see what was happening in his life. Look at Romans chapter 8 again. And verse 3 said, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Here's the purpose clause, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, that you could live. You shall not kill. You shall not love your neighbor's wife. You shall not steal. The principles of the Ten Commandments, the principles of the Word of Almighty God. Now, look at your Bible, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. If you're fleshly, you're going to be dominated by the flesh. You see that? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, our lives are dominated by the Holy Spirit of God. Watch what he says now. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind, I want you to see this now, the carnal mind is enmity against God. That is a strong Greek word. That word enmity means hatred against God. Do you see it? The carnal mind is hatred. It does not want to yield to God. It does not want to give over to God. It says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That old carnal nature in our lives, if we let it dominate us, verse 8 says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So you said, can Christians live their lives in the flesh? Yes, they can. Remember when I read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, about the carnal Christian? Paul said, I can't feed you with meat, have to feed you with milk because you're still a baby. And then he listed all those things that they did. See, some Christians live like atheists. Saved, yes. If they trusted Christ, they're saved. But they're not yielded to their Lord. They don't walk in the Spirit. They allow their old nature to still control them. Someone wrote this poem, two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul, the one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. And that's true. If you feed the Spirit, if you yield to the Spirit, you'll walk in the Spirit. If you feed the flesh and those old wicked things and worldly things and ungodly things, you pour those into your life, then you're going to be defeated. See, the flesh has great power over us. You don't lose it when you're saved. But it'd be nice if we did. It'll be with you until you step into your new resurrected body. When you leave this old world with the Lord, when you surrender to Jesus as Lord, you allow the Holy Spirit control, there's still that old pull of the flesh. Galatians 5:17 talks about it, that it's just tugging, and you'll have to deal with it that you may have the victory of Christ in your life. Okay, here's another question then. Why does the flesh have such a powerful tug on us? Why does that happen in this battle? Why does it have such strength to battle against our lives, against the power of the Spirit of God who indwells us? Well, we're going to talk about that on the next broadcast. That's going to be the title of the message, Why Does the Flesh Have Such Power and Tug Against Us? Those of us are born again, baptized in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God, who need to walk in the Spirit of God. All right, so we'll begin that with the next broadcast, and I'm going to stop here. And let me say again, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you. Stop where you are. Listen. The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. He woos you. Remember we talked about what his ministry is conviction, is sin, and righteousness, and judgment to come. He'll tell you about those things. You said, I need to be saved. And trust him. If you're a child of God, dear friend, grow in grace, yield more deeply to the Holy Spirit, and walk in the Spirit, that the righteousness of God may show through you, and that you don't allow the old devil to defeat your life. Now, as we close the broadcast, let me encourage you to pray for the radio ministries. I want you to pray for WDYN, the two FM stations, the AM station. They have a share-a-thon every 6 months. If God burdens your heart as you're listening all over the country, and this is our home base, and all the USBs and all come through our ministry here and go out to the Bible studies, 139 Bible studies in 19 states, and that God would speak to your heart. Now, I keep saying I'm going to get a card with the address on it, and I'm going to do that for the next broadcast. But you can send an offering to WDYN. Look it up on your internet, and you'll see it, and then send a love offering to them. Encourage all these wonderful Christian workers that 24 hours a day broadcasting the Word of God. Well, until the next broadcast, this is David Bowler, and it's my prayer that the Lord will richly bless you.